This episode is brought to you by Shopify. Do you have a point of sale system you can trust, or is it a real POS? You need Shopify for retail. From accepting payments to managing inventory, Shopify POS has everything you need to sell in person. Go to shopify.com/system, all lowercase, to take your retail business to the next level today. That's shopify.com/system.
It's The Other Side of Midnight with Frank Morano.
This is The Other Side of Midnight. I'm Frank Morano. It's a fascinating thing to watch the negotiations in Washington go over billions of more dollars in aid to Ukraine. And it's a fascinating thing reading about how the aid is being justified to both Republicans and Democrats. Now, the latest, if you haven't been following this, is they're saying, well, a lot of this isn't going directly to cash payments to the Ukrainian government. It's going to go to buy American-made weapons. And that's a great way to pump money back into the American economy. And as for the rest of it, well, we're going to say it's a loan so the Ukrainians can pay us back once they're on their feet. Something tells me those of you that are waiting with bated breath to get paid back by the Ukrainian government, I wouldn't cash that check anytime soon. So what is the story with Ukraine? I have intentionally been trying to speak a little bit less about Ukraine and my displeasure and distaste for the continued American support and funding for this war, because I don't want to be the guy that's seen on the radio as the anti-Ukraine guy or the pro-Putin guy, because I'm not. Neither of those two things are true. What I'd like to happen is for this war to end, and I don't see at all how America continuing to pump money and political support into one side of this equation will bring about a peaceful end to this conflict at all. So I was really interested in this new docuseries called Zelensky Unmasked. I got a look at the first episode. It debuts a week from today. I'm very pleased to welcome the gentleman that is responsible for this 12-part docuseries, Zelensky Unmasked, because it does a great job allowing viewers to take a look at a person that, quite frankly, while he's one of the most famous people in the world right now, is not someone that most Americans know very much about. They don't know about his history. They don't know about where he came from. They don't know about his rise to power. They know him as the man in the drab olive green T-shirt that is fighting for democracy and freedom against the big bad wolf of Russia and Vladimir Putin. Very pleased to welcome to the program Ben Swan, a renowned independent journalist and the founder of Truth in Media. Ben, it's great to talk with you.
Thanks so much for having me on, Frank.
Ben, let's begin with Truth in Media, what your group is. The listeners have become trained to be suspect of anything that bills itself as truth in media, because it seems like wherever you're looking, whatever direction you're looking at, any radio station, any newspaper, any cable news outlet, it seems like it's just one side pushing their propaganda or another side pushing their propaganda. Tell folks about Truth in Media. What's your agenda that you're pushing?
Absolutely. Well, I agree with most of those folks as well. That's actually why we started Truth in Media about 11 years ago. And, Truth in Media was started 11 years ago with exactly that idea in mind, that there is a fake left-right paradigm in media. It's actually a fake paradigm in that while we're led to believe there are these two almost opposing forces on the left and the right that are battling for control of your mind. In fact, establishment media is pretty much all the same, especially at the top. And that the messaging that we get is not just propagandized, but really controlled by corporations and corporate propaganda more than anything else. There's lots of different forms of propaganda that we're facing. But that's probably the most pervasive, is corporate propaganda. And so what we have kind of set out to do is to really dig into stories, and we have for a long time, stories that speak beyond and break through that paradigm. And so, for instance, just to give your listeners kind of some background here, you know, Truth in Media, we were one of the first organizations to ever cover a movement called Black Lives Matter. We did that all the way back in 2014, before Black Lives Matter, in my opinion, based on what I know about it, was co-opted. I feel that the current Black Lives Matter movement is a heavily co-opted movement. It wasn't in 2014. It actually had very real, clear solutions to deal with problems in policing, which are very real problems. None of those problems are being addressed today. It's a totally different movement today. But we broke through a lot of that, and we were trying to cover, you know, the reality of what, for instance, policing and profit looks like. We were one of the first entities to ever cover the fact that the U.S. funded the creation of ISIS in order to help destroy what was in place in Syria, in the government at that time, and allowed for all those weapons that stayed in Iraq to get into the hands of ISIS. You know, the U.S. government allowed all of that to happen. And we covered that, much to the sadness, I guess, of establishment media who insisted all this had never happened. I was actually one of the first journalists in the world to actually report on the fact that ISIS and Al-Qaeda in Syria were working together. Wow. Something that media at the time said, oh, that's insane. They hate each other. Well, it turned out they were doing exactly that. So that, just, you know, so people understand, we're not a new organization. As I said, we've been around for about 11 years, and we've been on the front edge of a lot of stories that are considered controversial in the moment because we refuse to simply just parrot what establishment media tells us is, you know, the narrative of the day.
The establishment media has had, even though you've had a pretty distinguished career in conventional media and unconventional media, the establishment media has had a field day with you, criticizing you as everything from a conspiracy theorist to any taking issue with your editorial bent on any number of those stories. I'm not going to get into any of those now. Absolutely. Because it's not necessarily relevant to this documentary, which is what I want to focus on. One thing that people are going to bring up, and which might be relevant to this documentary series, is your previous work with RT America, which was a Russian state-owned TV network. A lot of folks are going to say, all right, how can this fella Ben Swan, how can Truth in Media be objective in looking at this situation when he once worked for RT and was getting his paycheck, at least indirectly, from Vladimir Putin?
Yeah, listen, it's a fair question. I would hope they would also ask how I could be considered a fair journalist when I also worked for Fox for 5 years. I worked for CBS. And so when I've worked for NBC, I've worked for all these different, you know, kind of famous three-letter organizations as well. What I will tell you is, in the time that I worked for RT America, and a lot of people will have a hard time believing this because of the narratives that are pushed on them, it was the most freedom I actually had as a journalist. I had the least editorial oversight in terms of some kind of line that, well, you can't say this and you can't talk about this. But I'd also say this, you know, there is a lot that's been written about me and attacks that have been kind of thrown against me. What I would tell people is, if you'll go back and read any of those attacks, you know what they'll notice? There is one thing that never happens. They never attack the substance of my reporting, only the audacity to report it in the first place. But every attack that's ever been lauded against me, it fails to actually look at the reporting and say, well, here's where he was untruthful here, or this is what we know to be true, and he was clearly not telling us the truth. In fact, when you start to take all of that and put it together, for instance, and I give you an example, and this is probably something that even people within your listening audience will disagree about. I was one of the first, if not the first, U.S. reporter to report that COVID actually came from a lab leak in Wuhan. Now, this is before anybody else was talking about this. I was kicked off of YouTube for it. I had my reports pulled down, and then I had attacks against me that were put up on YouTube. And Facebook blocked a lot of my work at the time and said, this is crazy. There's no way. It all came from a market where people were buying pangolins. And it was this, you know, that was the crazy conspiracy theory. Then, of course, it turns out, no, it actually came from a lab in Wuhan. And so what I would say is, you know, again, it's the attacks that have been thrown against me are always attacks that I have the audacity to say something, as opposed to looking at the substance of the reporting. And what I would also say is, if you look at my reporting, I verify and source every piece of information that I put in front of people. It is not simply just my opinions or my thoughts, which we're very used to in our current, as you know, establishment media culture. Everyone's giving you their opinion. It's not opinion-based. We back up everything that we report with facts and sourced information.
If people are just tuning in, we're talking with Ben Swan, independent journalist and founder of Truth in Media. He's debuting this 12-part series called Zelensky Unmasked a week from today. Here's the trailer for Zelensky Unmasked.
So Tucker Carlson interviews Vladimir Putin and the world loses its mind. Could it be because they're terrified you'll find out that the whole narrative surrounding Zelensky and Ukraine is a fraud? I'm Ben Swan. Our 12-part docuseries, Zelensky Unmasked, is getting ready to drop on truthinmedia.com and on X at truth_inmedia. We're going to tell you things about Ukraine that nobody else is brave enough to tell you and give you detailed interviews and facts that will show you exactly what's going on in Ukraine and why the United States needs to reconsider its position. Again, check us out, truthinmedia.com and on X at truth_inmedia.
Ben, let's start with why this project. What you could have focused on any issue in the world. Heaven knows, any direction you look like, you look at, there's a number of different things that could use greater scrutiny. Why Zelensky? Why devote this amount of time, energy, and effort, and 12 parts to exploring Zelensky?
Well, listen, I think there are a lot of issues that we could be talking about. I agree with you. We do talk about a lot of issues. But the reason that we put so much attention on this issue is because there is something happening specifically with the war in Ukraine that is different than anything that we have seen, even in our current and I would say kind of obscene so-called war on terror. That is really an endless war that's been going on for over 20 years in this country. We now have an entire generation of Americans who have become used to the idea of endless war. War that never ends, that there's no clear directive to, an objective to. And yet what's happening in Ukraine takes a blueprint as the Middle Eastern war on terror, and it ramps it up to a whole new level. Remember, you know, you said in your buildup here that what we're watching with the latest claim is, well, listen, it's great if American weapons manufacturers are able to create more weapons and it's good for the U.S. economy. But there's some reality here. I mentioned that corporate America controls a lot of the narrative. Well, listen, we know that the military-industrial complex, those massive military contractors, they control the war on terror. They are the reason that we continue to fight in wars all over the world, bomb countries all over the world. We do this incessantly with no end in sight. But they were beginning to decline, especially during the – regardless of how you feel about them, during the Trump years – there was not as much weapon manufacturing going on, and they needed a new war. The American public was sick and tired of wars in the Middle East. They had grown tired of the idea of overthrowing dictators in the Middle East. It's why the war in Syria did not get the kind of support that the war in Iraq and Afghanistan received. And so they were looking for a new project, and they found Ukraine, and a new but very similarly old, you know, kind of Cold War idea. Let's get back to Rocky IV, people, and it's the U.S. versus Russia. and we have this proxy that is Ukraine. And what really got my attention about it is that when you see the forces that have surrounded this narrative, meaning Hollywood, meaning politicians, corporate America, big banks and massive corporate entities that have all surrounded this narrative about Ukraine, you realize that again, this fake left-right paradigm, this fake paradigm of everyone fighting, and yet suddenly the one thing that all Americans supposedly can agree on is that we should fund a war in Ukraine against Russia into perpetuity. Or as our politicians like to say, we will stay until the job is done, but they won't say what the job is.
Right.
They won't say what that looks like. And so we're either gearing up for perpetual war or, what's much worse, World War III, an actual nuclear armed conflict. And really what got my attention was when there started to be op-eds being written in papers like the New York Times and the Washington Post talking about how a small nuclear war could actually be good for climate change. It can actually be a positive.
No, it's insane. It's absolutely insane. And look, obviously, you're speaking my language here, and I've only seen part one of this docuseries, but I'm eager to see the other 11 parts. All right, and we want people to watch this, and they're going to get a lot of answers to some of the questions I'm about to ask you. But give us the Reader's Digest version of a few of these things here, Ben. Where did Zelensky come from? I think most Americans know that he was an actor and an entertainer who became president. I don't think that they know very much about his rise to power. How did he go from being an actor to being president? What's his story?
Well, it was a meteoric rise, including the fact that he essentially was part of a dance troupe, dance company, and a comedian, as you mentioned. He went to work for a network in Ukraine called One Plus One Network, which is owned by an oligarch over there, and by a guy by the name of Igor Kolomoisky. And this network created a show with Zelensky, and it was essentially a show called Servant of the People. And Servant of the People is a TV show about a guy who's a teacher who gets caught on camera ranting about government corruption and somehow gets elected and becomes president. And here's the thing most Americans don't know. 2 years after this show comes out, it's a huge hit, by the way, in Ukraine, all of a sudden Zelensky, with the funding of the same guy who owns the TV network, founds his own political party with the same name as the TV show, Servant of the People Party, and then runs for president and becomes the front runner immediately. And what we would also not recognize in the United States is that he ran and became the front runner and won kind of overwhelmingly his first ever step into politics, won the presidency of the country as a pro-peace candidate. Remember, since 2014, there's been a civil war going on in Ukraine in the Donbas region, mm-hmm. this region that most Americans didn't know about. It's been going on since 2014, ever since the West helped to overthrow the then government of Ukraine, helped with this color revolution that took place. Well, Zelensky ran saying, this civil war needs to come to an end. I want peace. I don't want conflict with Russia. I don't want war with Russia. We need to stop the fighting, and we need to bring the country back together. That's how he won election.
This episode is brought to you by Shopify. Do you have a point of sale system you can trust, or is it a real POS? You need Shopify for retail. From accepting payments to managing inventory, Shopify POS has everything you need to sell in person. Go to shopify.com/system, all lowercase, to take your retail business to the next level today. That's shopify.com/system.
Handling legal matters is stressful. So, let the law offices of Frank Bruno Jr. provide you with the insightful counsel you deserve. The law offices of Frank Bruno Jr. has successfully handled thousands of cases for 25 plus years. They focus on elder law and estate planning, but are equipped to navigate you through all stages of family law and divorce to real estate law and probate. The law offices of Frank Bruno. Call 718-418-5000 or visit them at frankbrunolaw.com. That's frankbrunolaw.com. Frank Bruno. He's your numero uno.
Obviously, it's not going to be breaking news to the people listening to this that sometimes politicians lie and sometimes they campaign in one way and then govern another way. But one of the things that I don't think most Americans have a full appreciation of because of how this war has been framed in the media, which is in no uncertain terms, a battle of good versus evil, a battle of a dictatorship and an authoritarian versus someone that loves freedom and democracy. I don't know that there's a full appreciation for how little freedom and how little democracy there is in Ukraine under Zelensky right now. I'm wondering if you can speak to that. Things that Americans hold dear, things like religious freedom and political freedom, how are those faring under the Zelensky regime?
Well, that's such a great question, because the reality is that it's not just a Ukraine problem, right? It is more specifically a Zelensky problem. Under Zelensky, listen, obviously Americans know in the U.S. we have a two-party system, two major parties. You have some smaller parties that try, but we're a two-party system. Other countries in the world, that's not the case. They have parliaments and they have many different parties. In Ukraine, they had at least 12 when Zelensky took power. And yet, since this war has started, he has banned 11 opposition parties. There's essentially one party in control of parliament and in control of the presidency in Ukraine, and it is Zelensky's Servant of the People Party. He has eliminated and criminalized every other political party. under Zelensky, they have gone into the Ukrainian Orthodox Church because they say, well, it has ties to Russia. Well, yeah, it was the Russian Orthodox Church for hundreds of years. It became essentially the Ukrainian Orthodox Church in 2019 when they actually split away. Zelensky says, nope, those priests speak Russian. Well, of course they do. Many people in Russia do. By the way, including Zelensky, he's actually a native Russian speaker, not Ukrainian. He only learned to speak Ukrainian while running for president. And yet they have arrested priests. We interviewed the head of the Ukrainian Orthodox Church 2 days before he was arrested. And his crime was they claimed that he's in cahoots with Putin because the church is not pushing war propaganda on the people sitting in their pews. And so they've arrested priests and they've searched churches and they've locked them up. They've arrested journalists in that country. There's an American-born journalist who recently died just 2 months ago in being held in prison in Ukraine because he criticized Zelensky on Twitter. I mean, this is the stuff that's happening in Zelensky's Ukraine. It has gone from a famously corrupt country to one that is absolutely tyrannical in terms of how the regime runs it. And it's most interesting to me as an American because what we hear in our media is that Zelensky is fighting for the survival of this country and for a democratic nation to survive against a guy in Putin in Russia who's attempting to rebuild the old Soviet Union. And none of that narrative is actually true when you talk to people, and we have the dozens of people we've talked to on the ground, journalists we've interviewed who are in that country, who have had their lives threatened, who have been arrested. It's absolute anarchy over there, and Zelensky's at the center of it all.
And you actually have an interview with Gonzalo Lira, who, as you mentioned, actually died inside a Ukrainian prison, although that did not get nearly as much attention as some of the people that are being held captive by Russia. Ben, you alluded to the money, as I did, that is going to military defense contractors, and both the White House and Republicans in Congress that are supportive of continuing this aid to Ukraine point that this actually helps America. Not only do we weaken one of the United States' greatest foes, Russia, but we're helping to build up American industry by pumping this money back into the American economy. Why do you think that that's a flawed logical reasoning, Ben?
Well, it's flawed, first of all, in the short term, because what they're not telling you is that while those weapons that we're going to replace with new weapons that are being paid for by U.S. taxpayer dollars, while that's happening, that's a multi-year process down the road. But what's happening in the immediate is that we're actually emptying out our own weapons stockpiles and sending them to Ukraine. And by the way, one of the things we've tracked throughout this series, and we'll show this as well, we have a specific episode called Where Did the Weapons Go? We actually are able to track that many of these weapons aren't even going to Ukraine. They're showing up in Middle Eastern countries. They're showing up in the hands of terror organizations. And this is all being documented around the world. There are presidents of countries in Africa saying, hey, why are U.S. weapons that are supposed to be in Ukraine showing up in the hands of groups that are trying to overthrow our governments here? Right? This is the mess that is created when you begin to just pump out these weapons and send them out. There are orders for weapons right now that Congress has essentially funded that won't even be built for 5 years. Do we anticipate that this war will still be going on, or do we anticipate that U.S. stockpiles of weapons will be severely depleted while these new weapons are coming in? So I think it's a very flawed concept.
Ben, you cover so many different things in this docuseries, and I hope you'll come back because I have a number of things that I'd love to follow up with you on. But let me do my best to try to ask a couple of challenging questions because I can already see the audience preparing their hate-filled social media, calling me a Putin propagandist.
Of course.
Obviously, there are a lot of people in the United States and in the world that like and respect Vladimir Zelensky. At one point, according to polling, he was a more popular political figure in America than both Donald Trump and Joe Biden. And I'm not joking about that. That's what the polls showed. Why not have something of a balanced look at Zelensky? I've only seen the first episode, but I didn't see anyone in the episode that was saying anything nice about Zelensky. Certainly, you could have found somebody to say something kind about Zelensky. Why not at least offer a semblance of balance?
Well, I would say the main reason for that is because you don't need to look very far to find someone who will say something nice about Zelensky. Like if that's what you're looking for, if you're looking for someone to say, hey, we think he's great, turn on CNN. They'll tell you that all day long, how great he is. What we're trying to do is not balance our own report. We're trying to show you the other side of what media is not showing you. We are the balance to their weight that only tells you this one side of how amazing he is. They fawn over him and tell you how he's this incredible man and that he's fighting this war for the survival of his country, Paul, somehow taking the time, though, to pose for Vogue. Which doesn't really make a whole lot of sense to me either, but, you know, again, listen, we are not trying to destroy the name of Zelensky. What we're trying to say to Americans is, you need to know there is another side to this story that they are not giving you. It doesn't mean that he's all bad. I don't think he's all bad. I don't think any human being is all bad. But I do believe that the image that we're being sold is not the image of a real person. It is clearly a propaganda image of this leader. And you mentioned, you're absolutely right, his polling is so high here. What's fascinating is before this war started, Zelensky was polling in around 23% popularity in Ukraine, because as a leader and as the president of that country, he did nothing to stem corruption. And prior to the Russian invasion, was polling so poorly that he wasn't even going to win a second term in that country. And by the way, he still hasn't won a second term because he suspended elections because he can't have elections during
the
war.
Yeah, I mean, it says a lot about political freedom there. Now, let's say everything that that we've said about Zelensky and everything in your docuseries that's exposed about Zelensky is accurate. That still doesn't make Putin a good guy, though, right? I mean, it's possible that Zelensky could be an authoritarian that suppresses religious freedom and political freedom and Russian minorities and goes back on his word with all sorts of domestic and foreign allies and adversaries alike, but that could still make Ukraine sympathetic because they're the victim of Russian aggression. Your series doesn't necessarily take on the fact that a lot of people view what Vladimir Putin did as being very wrong, does it?
We really don't. What we try to explain to people, first of all, is we do try to give some historical context for the fact that what's been going on in the Donbass, again, so American media acts as if what happened in February of 2022 was something that happened in a vacuum. Ukraine is there, everything's fine, they're going about their business, and all of a sudden tanks roll across the border, and they say, wait, we have no idea what's going on. Why is Russia headed this way? And they refuse to acknowledge the fact that even in recent history, I'm not talking about the, you know, Putin going on for 15 minutes in Tucker Carlson's interview trying to give you the history of Ukraine. Mm-hmm. I'm talking about since 2014, and in that very short amount of time, what was happening in Ukraine, what was happening in Crimea, what was happening in the Donbass. We don't go heavily into detail on that either, but it is important for people who want to understand. You gotta at least, you know, have enough kind of geopolitical understanding. If you don't understand that, you're never going to understand this story. But I want to say this. I agree with you. If Vladimir Zelensky is a terrible person, that does not make Vladimir Putin a good person, and vice versa. But the problem with our media, the problem with the way that our media frames every issue, is a good versus evil issue. That's how we frame every election in this country, right? It's good versus evil. Pick your side. If you're a Republican, the Democrats are all evil. Republicans are good, and vice versa. And so we can't simply look at an issue and say, well, here's two guys, and they might both be terrible leaders. But if they're both terrible leaders, then it begs this question. So why are we involved? Mm. Why are we funding? Because I will tell you that in recent history, we've done this a lot of times. There was a guy by the name of Osama bin Laden who was fighting the Soviets in Afghanistan. He was on the cover of the New York Times at one point as a freedom fighter, and the U.S. armed him and funded him. And then 20-some years later, we're fighting him. And we've done this over and over. Saddam Hussein was the same thing. He fought Iran in the Iran-Iraq War. We gave him chemical weapons to fight Iran, and then we wind up fighting him. And so I would say this is a very tired script where we claim that these people are all freedom fighters until we're fighting them ourselves.
How do people watch this next week?
So you can go follow us on X or Twitter at Truth_InMedia, or you go to truthinmedia.com. We have the dates of when each episode is released. We'll be releasing them there, and you can watch them there. I encourage criticism. I know there will be plenty of criticism, but what I'm hoping people will do is take the time to watch it and then challenge the facts that we raise, not the fact that we were audacious enough to raise the facts.
Ben Swan, I really enjoyed this conversation. I hope we can make this a regular thing. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
If you want to check out Ben Swan's Truth in Media, you can go to truthinmedia.com. You want to comment on any portion of our conversation, you can give me a call, 800-848-9222. That's 800-848-9222. This is The Other Side of Midnight.
Straight ahead.